Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Rico Rakowski, and we're going to be talking about his new book, Just Two Choices, It Is Your Life. Choice is the heart of Rico's unique and vital new book, Two Choices, It Is Your Life, which is the forefront of what promises to be a global movement, the Choice Revolution. The book uses a simple step-by-step system of thought that shows people how to instantly transform their daily, ordinary choices into those powerful, extraordinary choices that create an extraordinary life. Just Two Choices uncomplicates and demystifies choice and shines the bright light of crystal-clear thinking to illuminate a path to success for the reader. After all, what keeps most people stuck in life is failing to make conscious yes choices, thus allowing their default choice, the no choice, the one representing the same old choice, to continue to run their lives over and over every day. Just Two Choices is part picture book, part workbook, and part hard truth reality check for those people who are ready to break through to the next level and take back their lives. After all, life choice is life, and life is choice. For more information, you can go to his website, justtwochoices.com, and that's just and the number two, choices.com. And I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Rico to the show. Good day, Rico.
Well, Robert, welcome. Welcome to the show. I appreciate that very much. I feel very welcome to the show, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about choice.
I'm looking forward to it. You know what? One of the tests of a book that makes an impact is if I take some of the lessons from the book and incorporate it. And I have to tell you, this was really funny. This morning when I did my Facebook post promoting the show, I started it with basically saying, choices, choices. You can either listen or not. and then I went through and put the stuff in. And I thought, after I read it, I thought, man, that is like two choices. Boy, it really did make an impact.
Well, and a lot of people don't see. I mean, choice is so much a part of life that we just don't, I'll just say we haven't wakened up to how much choice there really is. And I think that's what the choice revolution is about. And our language doesn't really support our using the word choice because we overuse it, because everything's a choice. I choose to look to my left, choose to pick up a cup of coffee, I choose to, hand you the butter knife, I choose to get in my car, I choose to look for my car keys. Choice is so much a part of everything that we've not used it in our language, and I think that has become the challenge as we've evolved, because it's now we're kind of hypnotized into, well, maybe, we really don't have that many choices after all. And everything's a choice. And so that's what we're trying to do with Just Two Choices, is awaken that. The choice awakens, so to speak.
Exactly. That's good. Let's start, first of all, by, would you explain to the listeners how the book came about? How is it that you were kind of led and inspired to do this particular book?
Oh, sure. Actually, this is my fourth book. I've had three other books that I've written, kids, centered around a formula called Dreams Plus Action Equals Reality. And the way that all evolved was basically when I was growing up, I was interested. My two passions were art and aviation. And I'm from a small coal mining town in western Pennsylvania. And when I went and told my teacher, my guidance counselor, that I wanted to go to college and wanted to be a, pilot. And, I was walking out of her office. And I know her intentions were very good. I mean, I worked really, really hard for all my grades. And She said to me as I was walking out, Mr. Rakowski, I turned around very respectfully and said, yes, ma'am. And she said, you're never going to get into a four-year college. You need to go to a two-year college. And she recommended, you know, a two-year school. And at that particular point, not knowing anything about Just Two Choices, again, I was not upset whatsoever by it. But really, that was probably one of my biggest Just Two Choices moments in life. I said, I can either believe her or believe me, but I didn't say it that way. What I said was, you know, that doesn't sound right. I'm gonna live my dream anyway. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna go for it. And it finally worked out. I started off at art school, and then the Air Force called and gave me an opportunity to go to flight school, and so then I went back to art. All that ties together, and that later on, as I was flying airplanes for the Air Force, I flew transports and fighters, F-16s for them, and then I'm flying for the airlines now. And so it was one of these things where, man, as I watched my life come together, I was kind of scratching my head. How this happened, you know? I mean, the odds seemed to be pretty small, and I thought, well, I had this dreams plus action equals reality formula idea, and I said, well, you know, maybe that's why I can explain it to younger kids in terms of going after their dreams and goals, you know, because it made sense to me. It was I actually invented the kind of the formula for myself to try to explain for myself, because I've always been curious about how the human mind works. And so started working with schools, and found out that high school wasn't the right age to move into that. You could really go a lot earlier. And so I've been working with elementary school. I worked with elementary school kids for over 15 years using this formula, dreams plus action equals reality. And here is the book, you know, so there are three books associated with that formula, and of different, where the formula was woven into the book, like for the 100th anniversary of flight for the Wright brothers, how they used that formula to invent the airplane. And I kept saying to the kids for all these years, every choice of action you take is going to take you either closer to or further away from whatever you want to achieve. There are just two choices. And after saying just two choices to elementary school kids, I went, the light turned on. I went, oh, I said, I think I got something here. I think there's something here that adults would be interested in the just two choices approach. They might not have been interested in the dreams plus action equals reality idea, although the kids loved it. And so what that, the last thing that evolved to, Robert, was that when you're working with elementary school kids, as we all know, you can't give them what we call death by PowerPoint, you know, with lots of words and bullet points. You got to give them pictures. And so I presented pictures on positive choice up on the screen and taught goal setting and positive choice with diagrams and graphics. And that's what's part of this book. And that's the unique part about Just Two Choices. There's lots of books written on choice, but this book shows you exactly, I can show every person exactly the exact choice point in every moment. And if they show me their next choice, I can predict where they're going to go and how to either improve their choices or they're going to stay making the same old choices.
Yeah, that's, you know, and it's wonderful. That's the one thing, too, that I liked about the book was the illustrations, the charts, and also the workbook aspect, you know. And, the one thing, you know, the one thing that, for me, I know that it can sometimes be difficult to translate knowledge or awareness into application. You know, how am I going to make this work for me? And, you know, and very much that workbook aspect addresses that.
Well, thank you. And you know, I think a part of that, again, comes from working with kids. And then aviation is obviously is a visual thing. So all your flight instruments that you know, when you go through clouds in particular or at night and, you know, you can't see the ground. I mean, you have to, it's all pictures. I mean, it's all visuals. It's all symbology. You know, there's very few words and just a bunch of numbers, and you look there and you interpret the numbers and you interpret, you know, what the different colors mean. And I mean, especially now with today's technology, and you look at it and you very quickly make your next choice in terms of how you're going to, you know, if the airplane's doing what it's supposed to do, or if you need to intervene and, you know, and change course or direction, you know, those kinds of things, or update something. It's all visual. And so, like, that's kind of what brought this idea of bringing it to the, you know, work for kids. I thought it's something unique that would probably work for adults too, especially, Robert, when you think about it. I mean, you know, everything on websites, you climb into a new car, it's all visual, right? You buy a new cell phone, and there's hardly any instructions other than it's, you know, everything's laid out with an intuitive aspect. So you might as well, why not do that in books too? You know, why not print them in color and let people look at it and go, oh, I get it. And then get right to it, you know, get right to living their dreams instead of trying to figure out. And I think I might be hearing you correctly. I mean, I prefer to look at visuals than to read a lot of text. in most cases. And so I'd rather just look at it and get it than spend my time brain bites processing
through. Yeah, I agree.
Sentences and words. So.
Yeah, we have enough brain bites and stuff that goes on that, you know, it's nice. You know, simplicity, I mean, you know, I think that's also one of the wonderful aspects of the book is it's just simple. You know, it's easy to understand, and I'm sure that probably comes from working with the kids, you know, trying to make it as basic, you know, and easy to understand as possible. But I think, you know, for people who are trying to make a change or make a shift, you know, it's like, you know, just make it easy. If you can make it easy for me, the chances of me implementing are going to be a lot higher than not.
Yeah, and two things to that. You know, I think part of it, too, is exactly right, is trying to explain to the kids. And the other part of it is in aviation, you know, you're used to a logic, you know, a thought process. And, you know, when you turn a switch on, you know, electrical or hydraulics or even starting the motor, you know, starting the engines, you know, the engine's either in limits or it's out of limits. The fuel flow is either fuel, you know, it's either at an acceptable rate or it's not an acceptable rate. You know, you turn on the air conditioning in an airliner, for example, and, the air conditioning is either working properly or it's not, you know, and as it's supposed to. And so, you know, that contributed to the binary, you know, you're on course or you're not on course. You know, it's that contributed. And if you're not on course, then you make a correction. So that logic, you know, is very much ingrained in terms of being able to help write about it, in addition to the visuals coming from the kids, because it's, you know, it's a natural thing. And you talked about, I mean, a natural thing for the kids to look and see things. If I could add one other thing, Robert, you know, you're as you were talking about things here, about wanting to make changes and stuff in life, there is a limit to all of these things, and the limit is our own individual choices. I think the adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink, applies here. And so, you know, you can make something as simple as you can, but you can't, they're either going to choose to do it or not choose to do it. And so there's this idea of you can't make a choice for somebody else. They're the only ones who can activate that in their own life, And so, I shouldn't say that's a limit. That's about as far as it goes. And I mean, in terms of it comes down to all of us individually. So,
exactly right. Well, you know, one of the things, you know, in the beginning you had talked about how we're kind of immune in a way to the idea that we have so many choices that we make every day. That you know I know that it's in part of the book, you know, you discuss how important it is to raise awareness of of choice opportunities. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think, you know, I mean, I can't count how many times I've heard people say, I have no choice in the matter, you know. And every time I hear that, I'm thinking, really, you know.
There's a couple of things to say about that. First of all, I think that, you know, we're blessed in this era to stand on the giants of the Dale Carnegies and Norman Vincent Peales and the Napoleon Hills and others who back in the, you know, turn of the 1900s, their 30s and stuff had radio shows and stuff where they started to introduce this idea of taking positive action. And in fact, Norman Vincent Peale's partner was a psychiatrist. And back then, in 1951, when The Power of Positive Thinking came out, the psychiatrist had to separate himself had to distance himself from Norman Vincent Peale because this idea of positive choice was just too far out there. You know, it's too much of a stretch. And I'm not judging psychology. I'm just saying that when something new is introduced, that's typically, you know, what happens. And since 1951, we'll just use The Power of Positive Thinking with Norman Vincent Peale, we've gone through the human potential movement, you know, the human human potential, human choice, you know, not choice actually, but we take action. You know, a lot of the phraseology over the past 80 years up until, I would say, 2010, in my estimation, has been take massive positive action. You got to get motivated, you know, have great intentions. The challenge with that, although that is higher than what it was in the 1930s and 40s and 50s, where people didn't embrace those kinds of things, the challenge is there's still a gap there. There's still something missing in my how I pursued it as I studied that material. And to me, it was the idea, I felt the connection when I'd say, I choose to be motivated. I choose to take positive action. It takes some mystery out of it, you see. And because, you know, we can wait till 4 months from now or 5 months from now till we go to the seminar where we walk across a hotbed of coals and get motivated and pumped up by doing that, or we can just say, I choose to be motivated right now, because it's just a choice. And what's the alternative choice? To say, you know what, I'm going to choose not to be motivated until 4 months from now when I go walk across a bed of hot coals, right? When you say the phrase, I choose to not be motivated now until, kind of like, wow, could I do it a little bit faster than 4 months? Well, sure you can. You can do it now. I choose to be happy. There doesn't have to be a reason. Now, people say to me, Rico, that's Pollyanna. That's kind of BS. And I say, well, what's my other choice? To keep saying the same old thing, that my life's terrible, that my life sucks, that nothing's working out? That's my other choice. So, you know, there are just two choices in every moment, and which are we going to energize? And that's what the awareness that I bring out through the diagram is, you know, when you energize one choice, let's just say you energize that new and that better choice, from having better finances or better relationship. The moment you energize and you say, I choose to do that, you're not sending the energy to the other direction, to the lack of health, the lack of wellness, the lack of finances. And so those things just have to go away. In my philosophy, you know, you hear, or Yoda say once, you know, you must unlearn what you've learned. Why do that? Why don't you just learn something new? Because when you send all your direction in a new direction, you know, the other one just has to go away. And it's just like not watering a plant. It dies because there's no energy going
right.
to it. So thanks for kind of getting on a roll with that. So.
No, that's good. No. I mean, and that's, you know, I'm glad you did. So, you know, when you talked about using the word, I choose this, you know, and I choose
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think, I can't remember which chapter it was, but you talk about, you know, using the word choose,
mm-hmm.
And there's a certain ownership connection that, you know, because,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you say you choose it, it's like you own it, you know, I mean, I make that decision.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I'm wondering if maybe if the reason why so many people choose not to choose or you know, choose the same
yeah.
old pattern and same old, you know, kind of direction, that maybe there's a reluctance to take that ownership because there's a possibility that the choice may not have been, quote, the right one.
Right. Well, I think there's a couple of things to address with that. First of all, if any of us knew how to make the right choice, that's called psychic. So our language doesn't do a service in that particular case, because we use that phrase, make the right choice. Well, if we knew how to make
mm-hmm.
the right choice, if I knew how to make the right choice, I wouldn't be here. But we would probably be having this discussion, you know. And so that's one thing with regard to our language. The other thing with regard to people choosing to make the same old choice, I found a simple technique is. And I use these three techniques myself, and I'll share them quickly if it's okay with you. The three I
Absolutely.
Use every single day. And I have a blast with it. And another quote from Star Wars, you can feel the choice flowing through you instead of the force. You'll feel the choice flowing through you. And some people are going to say, well, Rico, this is Pollyanna. This is BS. And I'm going to say, well, that's your choice. What's the alternative? So here it is. Number one is I use the phrase, I choose to. I just say, I choose to. I choose to pick up a cup of coffee. I choose to look at, you know, the car that's driving past my house. I choose to look at the sky. I choose to look at my shirt. I choose to look at the colors on my shirt. Now, this sounds overly simplistic. What's being done in that past 10 seconds that I said that is, you're raising your awareness of just how much choice there is that we skip over because we don't think in terms of choice. But it's a choice to look at your shirt and see what colors are on it, red, blue, yellow, whatever. It's a choice to pick up your coffee. It's a choice to, you know, whether you want more cream or sugar in your coffee. It's a choice for the size of coffee cup you have. It's a choice for how much you pour into it. And so just by doing that a few times throughout the day, I remind myself and raise my awareness about choice. The second thing is whenever I run into a challenge, then I add a phrase to the I choose to phrase. And that phrase is, I choose to tell my new story. So I had some technological problems earlier today. And my old story, I'm not necessarily a tech guy. In airplanes, yes, but not in, you know, not in the computer world. And so it's just I have a my past habit pattern is to get frustrated with computer technology. I don't have to do that. I have just two choices, right? And so when I find something happens, it's gone, it's glitched, it's a challenge, whether it's health, wealth, relationships, technology, I say, I choose to tell my new story. And right then and there, I own, going back to what you were talking about before, Robert, now I own that choice. Not, oh, my God, I'm out on this ocean of lousy technology. I have no idea what's going to happen. No, I own that choice. I choose to tell my new story about how I'm going to find a solution to this technology. And immediately your heart rate goes down. Mine does. Immediately I start to feel like I'm empowered. I'm feeling the choice flowing through me. And so you can use it for anything. And then the last one I use, the technique I use is I choose to appreciate. Notice all the sentences start with I choose. I choose to, and observe whatever's around you and acknowledge that you're choosing to look at it or see it or feel it or taste it or listen to it. The second one is to tell the new story. I choose to tell the new story. And the third one is I choose to appreciate. I choose to appreciate this phone call and you know, talking with you and being on your show, you know, bringing inspiration to earth. And I choose to all the audience who's listening. I choose to appreciate they're taking the time out of their day to share or to listen and perhaps share some thoughts later. It just pick something. But notice how much you feel better. Notice how it uplifts your spirit. And again, you can feel that flowing up through your heart chakra. And you know, your life is powered by choice and at the speed of choice. It happens instantly right here, right now. It doesn't happen 30 seconds from now. It's not happening in the past. It's only here, only now. So embrace it, harness it, and just have a boatload of fun with it.
Yeah, that's good. You know, that's the number one, the saying I choose to, and, you know, that is certainly a great technique to raise awareness, you know, in to the fact that we do have so many choices. So for people out there who have difficulties sometimes seeing that they do have choices in life, that's a great way for them to kind of, you know, start working their way toward that. And the one I choose to tell my new story. I kind of want to talk a little bit about that because now, you know, when you're talking about a new story, you know, in the book you indicate that, you know, if you wanted to get from someplace to someplace, you know, from where you are, what your current story is to what you know, what you want, you tell your new story. So can you talk a little bit more? I mean, because I want people to recognize, you know, because the examples that you give in your book are honest, kind of empowering things that I can do. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, wishful thinking or, you know, kind of, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because some people, it's like, well, my new story is I am a billionaire, you know? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, that could be the case. Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see that happening right now. But I mean, when it comes to, you know, making choices, you know, that in your book, you just did a really good job of having practical approaches to what that new story could be.
And, you know, thank you for those thoughts. That's very kind of you. You know, tied to that, let's just use your example, Robert, of a billionaire. Notice the difference between I am a billionaire and I choose to be a billionaire. There's a big difference. You know, I choose to be a billionaire honors the ownership. And so what you call before hope, wishful thinking, you know, before versus honest and empowering. So, I mean, that's a really good point you made there because I am a billionaire is more of a wishful thinking approach. You know, to say I choose to be a billionaire is a really, you know, it takes ownership. It also implies you say I choose to that there's going to be I have to choose to take actions to get to that particular point. It's not going to be the, you know, it's not going to be the secret of sitting on the beach and meditating.
Exactly.
It's going to plop. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to plop on my lap. I have to be engaged to do it. And again, something I have to remind myself sometimes is just because something's difficult to do doesn't mean it's not a choice or it can't be done. I mean, it's just because we have a tendency to think that because it's difficult, it's not a choice. But to be a billionaire seems like a difficult thing. Well, you can say I choose to make it difficult to become a billionaire. You know, you see how this plays out when you add the I choose to part. I choose to find people who financially can help me to introduced me to different ways that I can learn how to be a billionaire. I choose to go to the library or go on the internet and look for books that give a path that I could pursue, I could learn about to pursue to become a billionaire. And so when you choose to, it, to me, it just adds that, you know, adds that ownership
yeah.
there, that there's something, yeah, it's not just going to plop into your lap. There's something that has to be done, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Great.
Yeah,
yeah,
hopefully that answers, that helps for you.
No, that does. No, that very, very clearly, you know, and, the addition of, you know, I choose to, and also the recognition, you know, in your book of having to take action. To me, that is, you know, that's so key. I just tell people time and time again, you know, that, you know, like you said, you can't meditate it into being, you know, you've got to do something to create an opportunity.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and there's that's great. You know, here's another just two choices thing. You know, are you going to see something as an opportunity or an obstacle? That's your choice. You know, and some people have said to me, well, Rico, that's kind of pie in the sky. You're being unrealistic. That's BS. That's Pollyanna. And I say, well, that's your choice. You know, if you choose to see it that way, you know, what I like about just two choices, I grew up in an alcoholic family. So, and I'm not wearing it as a badge. I'm just telling you, I'm used to the, I've grown up with the distractions and those kind of things. And I've had to sort through them myself, you know. And so my point just being that, you know, growing up for me, what I learned was that when people would say to me, you know, that's stupid or, you know, you're being unrealistic or, you know, that's Pollyanna, I would have the tendency to believe them. But now I know just two choices. It's kind of like I go, well, that's your choice. You're using your just two choices to say that that's unrealistic. And that's okay with me because I'm the only one who can make a choice for me. You can't make that choice for me. I can only make that choice for me. And so, you know, I see it as an opportunity. I'm going to make it an opportunity. I mean, I just happened to read stories with just something I just read recently. Would that be okay?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ray Charles, you know, he's known as a genius. You know, at age 4, he witnessed his brother drown. At age 6, he lost his eye. Age 6, he started to lose his eyesight. At age 7, he lost his eyesight. You know, his parents put him into, school for the deaf and blind. And then his parents died when he was 16. He had no place to go, nothing to do. He became a drug addict, moved as far away as he could to Seattle. Look at all the choice opportunity he had right there. Did he see his blindness as an obstacle? No. Did Stevie Wonder see his blindness as an obstacle? Patsy Cline, you know, she had a bad car accident and, you know, was hit head on. She was in the hospital for a long time. She came right out, and that song from years ago, I mean, it was just really cool to read this thing that I ran across, Crazy, written by Willie Nelson. She did it in one take. That's how excited she was about, I mean, it was a choice. She didn't have to do that. She chose to step into it. And lastly, I'll say Franklin Chang Diaz. He's the first, he's a Chinese, Spanish astronaut. He came from Costa Rica. He came to America speaking no English. And I guess he didn't understand enough when they said you can't be here because you can't speak English. He stayed in school in Hartford, Connecticut, got a scholarship, University of Connecticut, but then went to MIT. He has the most, he's been in space the most number of launches of anybody. And so, just two choices. I mean, he could still be in Costa Rica making choices, but he chose to continue to follow his path even without, you know, without knowing the language. And I just found this other one out, Merle Haggard. Merle Haggard was in San Quentin prison at age 20, and he had a 15-year sentence, and he heard Johnny Cash sing in San Quentin prison. And he made the choice to turn his life around. He got out and ends up having 38 number one best-selling country songs.
Yeah.
Why? How did he do it? It was powered by choice. Every bit of that was powered by choice, by just two choices. So thanks. I just saw these stories recently. It's just like,
and it's those kinds of examples of you know, obstacles or challenges that people experience, and then the following choices that they make and how it led to success and really empowerment in their lives, you know. And I mean, that's the thing to keep in mind, is that, you know, the result of our the impact of our choices every day and the roads that it can lead us down.
And here's the other part of it to keep in mind. Even, you know, somebody's tries to put you down on something. You know, you can't avoid making choices because not making a choice is still a choice. So even
I
if someone
was ask you about that.
It's an infinite loop, because if you're not making choices, I'll just say, I mean, the best I can tell is you're not on this plane of existence, I guess. But when you think about it, you know, we as human beings are focusing mechanisms. You know, right now we're not talking about the NFL and what happened over the weekend, you know, last weekend with any of the football teams, you know, whatever your favorite team is. Pittsburgh Steelers is mine. But, you know, we're not talking about any of that. Why? Because we're focusing mechanisms. I have just two choices. We're either going to talk about these things that are on this show, or we're going to talk about something else, right? I mean, that's how powerful and that's how much we are immersed into it. And you can't avoid making choices, again, because not making a choice is still a choice. So you can't escape it. You know, it doesn't matter whether you go to the moon, you go underground, underseas, you go in a coal mine. You're just constantly making choices. So you might as well wake up. I mean, it would be great to wake up to it and now harness your choices of mind chatter. How much mind chatter do we every day that's unproductive? Imagine being able to use your just two choices to harness the mind chatter to say, oh, yeah, I choose to be a billionaire. And now your mind chatter is going, oh, yeah, and start to watch the things come into your life, you know? So that would be that's fun.
Absolutely. Well, we're halfway through the show, so I want to take a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask Rico any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to post them there. And then when we come back, Rico, I want to talk about a process that you have in the book called Flip in Thinking. I'd like to talk about that next. Okay, so everyone stay tuned.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Rico Rakowski, and we're talking about his new book, Just Two Choices, It Is Your Life. And again, you can find out more about Rico by visiting his website, justtwochoices.com, and that's just and the number two, choices.com. And there is, again, a direct link to his website in the show page description. And definitely pick up the book. It is one of my favorites. Finished reading it, but it's one of my favorites already.
Yeah.
So,
could I add something to that, Robert?
Sure, please.
Yep. I want people to get started right away. There is the welcome and chapter one are free downloads. And just download that for free, and you just, you know, God bless you, just get started. And in chapter one, you'll see the just two choices of how it works with Aristotle, how he landed Apollo 11 using just two choices on the moon, how you can have extraordinary customer service or extraordinary other aspects of your life. Just and it's all there in those first two parts. And with regard to choice, and I just like everybody to get, you know, if it's your choice to get started and do something simple and step into your new story of life and explore your life in a very, very fun way. So please go to the website, just download that for free. So
That's great. Yeah, that's a wonderful offering. And to me, it's just wonderful to be able to start like right now, being able to make a change, for the better.
It was kind of interesting you mentioned that, Robert. You say start right now. You're always starting right now. I mean, it just dawned on me. Start right now. Yeah. You're always starting right now because it's always a new moment to start. It's always a just two choices moment. So yeah.
But I'm going to activate those choices. let's talk about, again, in your book you have a process you call a flip in thinking. Can you talk a little bit about that, what that is?
That's a way that I use as a visual to explain to people, meaning that you're, in every moment there are just two choices. You know, you're either going to tell your new story or you're going to continue telling your old story. You need to make a choice that keeps creating the old habit that you want to change, or you're going to make a new and better choice that's going to start your new habit. You're either going to choose to be less than happy, or you're going to choose to be happy. I mean, all those things, the just two choices approaches to things, and in every moment. And so, when you're used to telling your old story, when you're used to still going along with your old habit, when you're used to being less than happy, choosing to be less than happy, the flippant thinking says, why don't you just flip it to the positive opposite? I mean, we could all just, if any of us were just to write out the negative aspects of a certain part of life we want to change and put it into a paragraph, all we'd have to do is take the negative out and turn it into a positive, right? And then start saying the positive opposite. So I just thought of it this way, that it'd be kind of fun if you're somebody who's been going down in the same old story and you want to get out of it, just write out what that same old story is and then just do a flip in thinking. Turn all your negatives into positives. You know, I'm in this relationship that's terrible. You know, the person does this and that, and, you know, and I don't know whether I'm going to go anywhere else or anything, you know, how I'm going to get out of it. And now you just flip it around and say, man, I choose to tell my new story about how the relationship I'm in has been a real benefit to me because now it's showing me exactly what I don't want. And now I'm looking for people who are, and then just talk about what was the opposite of what you're in right now. You know, you can't get to that new and better place if you keep telling the same old story about where you are, you know, and you got to tell how you want it to be. And that's what I think happens too in society in general is, and it's just something that we've evolved with in humanity. And, you know, we're used to talking about what we don't want. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. And, you know, yeah, I hope everything works out instead of talking about what we want. Notice that every time you say, I choose to, you activate the energy. And it's going to either flow one direction or the other. So when we choose to keep saying, oh, I hope that doesn't happen to me, or I hope that this doesn't happen, we're basically throwing away our life force in a direction that only is going to perpetuate what we don't want. So the flippant thinking basically boils down to talk about what you want.
Yeah.
I want happiness. I want a great attitude. I choose to have a great attitude. I choose success. Don't talk about what you don't want, like, gee, I don't know how I'm going to find success, or gee, I don't know how I'm going to get a good attitude, or gee, I don't know if I'll ever be happy. I mean, you keep talking about that, you shouldn't be surprised that your life isn't going well. And you're the one who did it to yourself. We all do it to ourselves.
Yeah, we do.
Does that answer
you know, and what? Yeah, it does. You know, and one of the, for me, that, let me kind of tell you my experience with that from reading it. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those who had a childhood where I had negative thinking. I had a really good teacher for negative thinking. I mean, those tapes were ingrained into my psyche.
Yeah.
I mean, those are some deep-seated, transcripts, the scripts in my head. But the one, you know, and so, I mean, of course, you know, now I'm thankful for that because I've spent a lifetime, focusing on positive, and you know, I mean, it's the basis of the show, the basis of what I do, you know. So, but the one thing that I like about the flip it thinking is that when any of those old tapes start playing, or any of that kind of pops into my head, which it still does. The first thing now I think about is flip it. I mean, it's just flip it, you know, and it's kind of like a trigger, you know, as far as, mm-hmm. you know, being able to reprogram, you know, those thoughts. And, you know, and it's mm-hmm. just as, you know, and I think it's, for me, it's just as, it's very valuable to have something really simple to be able to quickly shift. You know, and so I mean, just mm-hmm. the two words, flip it, really kind of acts mm-hmm. as a great trigger. So that's kind of how I've been utilizing that.
Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing that insight too, because you know, and that's what we do in client too. You know, we're always looking for ways to simplify the information, and so I think that becomes part of the consciousness. And I'm glad that that's, you know, that's something. Thank you for explaining that so well in terms of how it helps. You know, how it helps yeah. you, because I look for the same kind of things. I want something to be simple, and I want it to be fun. And you
yes.
know, if I can say flip it, you know, if I can say flip it or flip
uh-huh.
thinking, you know, it's kind of like other things. Like you think the flip it's kind of like the other phrase that I'm not going to say, but you know, it's enough to
yes.
get your attention,
uh-huh.
you know, and get you to go.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I can
it does,
this,
you know,
yeah.
and that's a very G-rated way of saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, and yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's, you know, that for me, that, you know, that's a valuable tool, you know, and it's one that, you know, that I use now to, you know, whenever I again have any of those kinds of old tapes that kind of pop into my head, you know,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, whatever the trigger is. Now, one of the things in your book, you have a tool called the Emotional Vibrational Color Scale, the EVCS. Now,
yes.
can you talk a little bit about that? Because this is now tapping into emotions versus
mm-hmm.
you know, the thoughts necessarily that, you know,
right.
you're going through
yeah.
and choices. So can you talk about that? Because the emotional component, I think, is very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. You know, that's tied to the emotional vibrational color scale is that, in essence, every choice is also a choice of vibration. It's about how you feel. I mean, really, every choice that you make. And so it's a way to raise your awareness. And I'm a kind of guy who, you know, I love visuals. And so when I was making the connection between choice and vibrations and choices and how you feelings, I wanted to, and your feelings, I wanted to create some kind of a tool. Again, these are all invented for myself first, so that I could understand life. And so I've experimented with this stuff on my own material, on the material.
Mm-hmm.
And so
well,
that's
good.
So the EVCS is, for those listening, it's a color scale. If you just imagine a rainbow colors from the bottom and just a bar, of starting at the bottom with red and going up to violet at the top of the scale. And then correlated on the right side of that are, you'll find words like red is fear and anger and grief. And the orange, as you move up the scale, would be disappointment and anxiety or stress or pessimism. And as you move up the scale a little further, up into the yellow ranges, you get into things like discontent, unhappiness, irritation, impatience, those kinds of things. And then as you start to get into the positive side of the scale, the separation is between the yellow and the green. You know, you get interested, engaged, eager, and then you start to get up into the blue, the higher vibrations of happiness and positive, you know, fulfillment and expectations. And then the highest ones would be love and joy and appreciation and enthusiasm, those kinds of things. And the reason I did that was that for me it made sense because the color purple has the highest frequency of vibration. And when we're happy, we have high vibes. And that's why the term high vibes instead of enthusiasm, you know, that is a replacement word in the choice language for me. And so I've made that scale so that I could look at the scale when I'm frustrated or irritated and say, oh, how do I use my just two choices right now? How can I raise myself up the scale to positive expectation or to happiness? So I use it as a reference, a visual reference, to help me to fine-tune, or another way to say it, tune up my choices, literally tune up my choices so that I can not be in, spend less time in the funk, you know,
mm-hmm.
and spend
yeah.
spend more time in the happiness and less time in the funk. So that's basically how the scale came about. And I'd hope, go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, you know, that's, I mean, I can see where, you know, the idea of tuning up, you know, and looking at choices. You know, the one thing that I think sometimes people find difficult to understand is that they do have a choice in feelings and how they're feeling about something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and you know, mm-hmm. now, you know, you kind of want to recognize, you know, obviously our feelings are important. They tell us a whole lot. You know, we mm-hmm. don't want mm-hmm. to deny our feelings or emotions, mm-hmm. you know, but, mm-hmm. but then again, you know, is there, I think that the idea, like at the tune-up, is to you mm-hmm. know, recognize it, feel it, you know, see why it's there, mm-hmm. and then work toward changing it. And mm-hmm. and raising that vibration, right?
Oh, exactly right. And I think it goes back to two, just like choice. You know, we're unaware of choice because choice isn't used in our language in the way that we're using it now in terms of I choose to. And so the same thing goes with the feelings of vibration. And I the example that I have in the book is called the party example. So this is where we're just not aware of how we feel. So picture yourself going to, you know, a family reunion, going to some kind of reunion, high school, college, a gathering at some organization, be it church, your business, you know, party coming up for the holidays or whatever, and picture yourself going to that. What happens, and picture this group, what happens after about an hour, doing 60 to 90 minutes, is that all the happy people are going to be at one end of the room, and for the most part, the unhappy people who are complaining about life is full of, you know, things to be aware of and blame and anger and jealousy and insecurity and vengeance and those kind of conversations, they're going to be congregating at one end of the room. And so that's a recognition of where do we choose to be? You know, gee, you know, for me, I'm not a person who chooses to be in the oranges or red part of the room with people who are, you know, are in the blame or disappointment or jealousy or any of those kinds of general words and talking about negativity. It's just not me. It's not personal to them as an individual, be it a relative, an aunt or an uncle or cousins or anybody or other friends. It's not personal. It's vibrational. I just don't want to – the vibration of between red and being a blue or violet person is not compatible. And so that is an example of what you just described as I – heard it, Robert, in terms of a way, something that we naturally make a choice to, but we're making the choice vibrationally because we either feel comfortable with one group or with the other. And notice the high vibe people find it difficult to be the low vibe people, and the low vibe people who are always complaining about life don't want to spend much time with the high vibe people. It's nothing personal, but that choice is being made at an unconscious level. It's still being made. And I'll just add to that's what Just Two Choices is about. It's about raising your awareness so you go, oh, that's why I'm moving from here to there. That's why I hang out with certain people and don't hang out with others. And through that awareness, you continuously make new and better choices about your feelings as well. Or even, yeah. I could say, you make some, you know how it is. If a person gets all of a sudden goes into the deep anger stuff, you start to recognize that perhaps someone has a habit pattern of doing that, we don't want to spend time around those people who are unpredictable. We love them still, but we're not going to spend as much time around them. But it's vibrationally because it's a painful vibration to be in. It's not where we feel that we want to be on a higher vibe scale. And again, that's an example of choice and vibration being inseparable.
Yeah, kind of going along with that, it's to me, it's interesting that, you know, the group, you know, who choosing to express mm-hmm. themselves and their choices through a low vibration mm-hmm. series of choices, mm-hmm. that, you know, mm-hmm. It's kind of like they congregate together. There's a familiarity with that, and sometimes mm-hmm. you know that mm-hmm. they'll stick together because there is that common vibration, you know. And
yeah, that's exactly it. And that's why the happy people are all together over there because it's a common
exactly.
vibration. It's not only familiar, but you know the difference is going to be that the high vibe people can go over there laughing and yucking it up and, oh, I can't believe that. Yeah. You know, just having a great time. And the people of low vibration aren't going to be probably interacting that way. So.
Yeah. Now, one of the last part of your book, part three, talks about the freedom of choice in living your dreams.
Mm.
You know, so, you know, in that particular part, it's can you talk about just how being conscious of our choices can lead us to that feeling of freedom and living our dreams, whatever our dreams may be?
Mm. Well, I would phrase it this way. We have so much choice, we can choose bondage. That's how free we are, right? You know,
mm.
I could still be in the alcoholic family. That's how free I am to choice and free I am to choose. And when we raise our awareness, now we have a discernment about awareness about the power of choice. And again, going back to that phrase, you know, you can feel the force, you know, not the force, you feel the choice. You feel your choices flowing through you, and the choices that don't feel good, make a new and better choice, you know, toward the choices that feel good, because life is powered by choice at the speed of choice. And you can't avoid making choices, because not making a choice is still a choice. Choice is life. You know, life is choice. And wherever you put, you choose to put your attention, there flows your life. So going back to, you know, all of that is learning how that as you step into the new and better choices, you're reclaiming your freedom of choice. Where before, remember we were talking in the beginning about, I'm not so sure I have another choice here. You know, that typically comes from a fearful condition that you rarely
mm-hmm.
hear that from a, you know, you wouldn't hear that from a happy condition, because a happy condition, guys, the guy or ladies can go, whoa, man, I got this choice, I got that choice, right? But the people who are in the low vibe end of the emotional vibrational color scale go, well, I really don't have another choice, right? The
yeah.
dense energy that's there. And so basically what they're saying in another way then is there's less freedom of choice, right? They're feeling like they don't have as many options. But when you get up to the higher vibes on the scale, you don't hear that. That freedom of choice becomes ever expanding. If you have the book there and you're open to page 93, you could look at the spiral that's in the book there and see how the emotional vibrational color scale is depicted as a spiral. And, you know, and as the spiral opens up, just like a whirlpool opens up at the top, there are all the possibilities for new and better things. And as you go down the scale and you start to talk about anxiety and stress and doubt and discouragement and blame and anger and jealousy, you can feel how it tightens, just like on a spiral, you know, and a spiral going down gets tight. And there's less options there. And so you feel like less options, less freedom.
Yeah, that was a very effective image there as far as the tightening and expanding, I think that's the one thing that, you know, people get a handle on, you know, the fact that, you know, making conscious, you know, positive,
mm-hmm.
uplifting choices, you know, is
mm-hmm.
is only going to expand, you know, their freedom, their happiness, their joy, their, you know, opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just, you know, so
mm-hmm.
many things, you know, and very much like a spiral, you know, it's, you know, I've heard of, you know, people who are spiraled downward, you know, I mean,
oh, yeah.
after one decision, one bad decision after another, and they're in a downward spiral, you know,
mm-hmm.
It would behoove people to recognize, too, that there's that possibility of an upward spiral. You know, the fact that you know, we're starting to make better choices, you have that possibility to go in that direction.
See, and that's why I feel that, again, if you practice saying, I choose to, and then you feel that you want to make a new and better choice, I choose to tell my new story. Because that's instantaneous. That reminds me that I'm wallowing in my old stuff, and it's time to just step into my new stuff. You know, and there's times when, and I mean, I catch myself too, and I just go, all right, you can go back into that old stuff. And it's like, no, I'm going to step into my new story. And so that's one that takes you into the freedom. If I were to use one phrase, or recommend people use one phrase, it'd be, I choose to tell my new story. And always tell your new story, because the better it gets, the better it gets. It just doesn't mean to get yourself out of financial debt or to get yourself out of you know, a lousy relationship or, you know, some health condition. That means that the spiral, as it opens up, it's always expanding into something new and better. So there's no
right.
limit. You know,
exactly.
The spiral doesn't have a limit at the top. The better it gets, the better it gets. And so keep telling that new story.
Absolutely.
And allow it to get better. Yeah.
There you go. Well, guys, we're down to the last few minutes here, Rico. The hour has just flown by. Great. So, if you were to, for the listeners, if you were to say, one thing that you really hope that the readers are going to take away from reading the book,
yeah.
I mean, I personally have already incorporated the flip it, the two choices part into my life. But what is it that you hope people will take away from reading the book?
Well, I would the biggest thing I'd go back to, that the one that's most instantaneous as I see it, is just start telling your new story. Even when you tell your new story and you move into your new story, keep telling a new and better story. And you're going to see that in energizing your new story, you're no longer energizing your old story. And you're going to be prepared, because when you energize your new story, there are going to be some people who are going to get upset because you're not back into the old story. They're going to get upset, and your whole friendship base and interaction base is going to be very, very different after you start stepping into, and you're going to love it, I believe, stepping into that new story. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, every day is a blank page, so you can go ahead and write the story that you want. And, and you're so right about people and changes, changes in your circle of friends, acquaintances, those mm-hmm. who support you, those mm-hmm. who don't, those who, feel, that you're crazy or, Pollyanna, whatever the case, but that's going to change. And that's usually a good thing, because some of the things that keep us stuck are some of the people in our lives that kind of help and assist in keeping us stuck.
Yeah, and if I'll add real quick, I like to say that you're only stuck once. The moment you say you're stuck, that means you're aware that you're doing the same old thing. And as Einstein says, Fanny's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So if you're saying you're stuck over and over and over again, your next best choice is to tell your new story about how new things are happening. Use the phrase unstuck if you want. But, as long as you mm-hmm. continue to stay, I choose to say I'm stuck, why are you surprised?
Exactly. Well, Rico, this has really been a joy.
That was exciting.
I really
want
to thank you for your time. And
I
enjoyed your book very much. Okay. All right.
Well,
thank you
very much for your time. Blessings to you, Robert.
You're welcome. Thank you. Blessings to you, too. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Rico Wachowski, and we've been talking about his book, Just Two Choices, It Is Your Life. And again, you can find out more by visiting his website, which is justtwochoices.com, and that's just and the number 2choices.com. And again, there is a direct link to his website in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.